Right. Well, thank you. It's always great to come back to St. George. You know, I've had a long history with this church, and I was last here 2 years ago. Beth, I was alone that time. My wife Bethany is with me this time. But who has come to Calvary in the last 2 years? Anyone? Yeah. Wow. A lot of you. Yeah. Well, it's good to see you. Yeah. It's a lot that has changed over the last couple of years. You know, I was here in St. George 26 years ago. We spent a year here in St. George, but even before that, the founding pastor of this church, Aaron, he is the guy that set me, spoke a prophecy over my life and set me on the path of being a pastor. And then 5 years later, Pastor Rick, he sent me out to start the church. And now Pastor Jerry is going to be speaking at our 25th anniversary of our church in May, which is just such an incredible blessing of how long and faithful you guys have been to be with us. And just be such a great blessing to us as a church. You know, I was a Christian for 5 years, and I went out and started the church in Mansfield. And when I arrived, you know, I had delusions of grandeur of all that was going to take place. You know, and we got there, and the first 6 months while we were there, the church shrank in size. We were supposed to go over. There was supposed to be 8 people that were gathered together to start the church. And after we came, my mother-in-law decided to go to America for 6 months. Bethany was sick with she was pregnant with twins. And I'm sitting there in the living room on my own with no one around going, what have I done, you know? And what am I doing? Like, I know how to start a church. And when we were here, we were doing the serving ascenders thing, and we're talking to people and saying, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And I remember sitting down on the airplane when we were flying over, I'm like, looking over, and like, how do you start a church? You know, like, no idea how to do it. And so we just prayed for 6 months and started a Bible study, and the Lord has grown. And I think we have a picture of where we are today. We're given a building 10 years ago, and this is where we are now. So our building only seats 100 people, so we have 2 services as well. And it's just the Lord has been doing such great things in the church there in Mansfield. If you have any questions about that, we can chat about it as well. But I really have been blessed by being here. We were at Paul on Wednesday night. Bethany was able to speak at the women's Bible studies, and then we were able to go to Veritas on Friday. So it's just been such a great opportunity to meet so many of you and to be blessed by you and hopefully be a blessing to you. But today I want to read out of Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at that because this May, as I said, we celebrate 10 years of another church giving us their building. They handed it to us and said, here's the keys, take it and continue the work of the ministry. We celebrate 25 years of being as a church. At the end of May, I celebrate 30 years of being a Christian. And it's a big year for us as we look at these things. And often, it's in those moments where we begin to look at things and think, you know, what does God have for us next? You know, it's kind of a milestone that we've crossed, and what does God desire for us? And we come to that in Philippians, where Paul is kind of encouraging the church to forget those things that are behind and reach forward to those things that are in front of us. So before I read, let me just pray and ask for the Lord's blessing upon us. Father, we thank you for just the opportunity to read words written thousands of years ago and yet to be so relevant for our lives today. Father, we know that you have spoken through your Spirit, that your Spirit is still with us today, transforming us, changing us, drawing us close to you. So, Father, I thank you that you want to minister to us today. I pray for this word and season. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray for each and every one of us that we would hear what you have to say to your church this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me just read from verse 10. And it says there in verse 10, he's speaking about, you know, giving up his old life and counting it as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. But then in verse 10, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let as many of us as are mature have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. And so in this, you see Paul speaking to the church, and he is about 28 years into his walk with the Lord. He's planted this church, he's writing to them, and he's writing to them about this idea of forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forward. And often, when you look at Paul, you know, you can kind of think, well, he's the Apostle Paul. And you kind of put him on this kind of pedestal here, and this is just me, I'm here. And yet, here he is saying, this kind of attitude, this kind of philosophy, this kind of desire to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the desire to continue pressing forward to the reaching to that which God has called us to. It doesn't say, this is for me, and you guys are over here. He doesn't say that, does it? He says there at the end, he says, therefore, is let as many as mature have this mind.
We're having trouble with that.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Okay. He says, therefore, let as many as are mature have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. I love that thought. He says, this passage or this process, this philosophy is not just for the Apostle Paul, but it's anyone who wants to be mature. Anyone who wants to grow in their faith, anyone who wants to draw closer to Christ and to know why you are created and what you are created for, then this is for you, that you would grow in your understanding to him. And so he says there in verse 14 or 13, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to sort of focus on one phrase, and that phrase is this: forgetting those things that are behind. Because before you reach forward to something new, we have to let go of that where we are behind. If you're rock climbing or something, in order to move forward, you have to let go of one hold in order to grab another. If you want to have something that God has for you, you have to release something that you're holding on to in order for your hand to be empty for God to fill it for something else. And it's this idea here that we need to forget those things that have gone in the past. Now, with this word forgetting, it's not this idea that you are pretending it didn't happen. Nope, I don't remember that. Didn't happen. Or what you often hear is, I can't believe I did that, you know? And we kind of like, I want to almost, I can't believe that, I can't believe. We need to believe that it happened, and we would do worse, but by the grace of God. And sometimes there's this idea of owning these things and trusting that God has forgiven us for them. But this idea of forgetting is it's not necessarily pretending it didn't happen. It's not excusing it away. But the idea there is that you have put it in its proper place, that it has no longer any effect upon you for the future. And because Paul talks about his past often. He talks about how he was a persecutor of the church. He talks about how he wanted to destroy the church, that how he put people in prison and he consented to people's death. And he talks about those failures in his life, but in a way that he put it in its proper place, in that it's brought to the foot of the cross and that Christ has forgiven him. And he has received that forgiveness and received that which God desires to do in his life. So this idea of forgetting is not pretending it didn't happen, but it's allowing God to put it in its proper location. So this idea of forgetting is something that is so important for us to do. Letting go of those things that are behind. But the problem that we often have, and maybe I'm the only one who suffers from this, but I often remember what I should forget, and I forget what I should remember. I still remember. Now, if you asked me what songs we just sang, I probably couldn't tell you what they are. You know, many of them I never heard before, so that's one thing. But I still remember lyrics from a Beastie Boys song from 1986, you know? I can quote it to you, the entire thing. And I'm like, why do I remember that stupid song that was 1986, you know? And yet there it is. It's in my head, rattling through. Whenever someone says a word, it just triggers me back into it. But I'll walk into the kitchen, and I don't even remember why I went in there. I'm like, what is going on? Why do I forget what I need to remember and remember what I need to forget? Well, that is not just something that happens to you and I. Because here God is telling us through the Apostle Paul that we need to forget some things, but also he is going to say, hey, remember there are things that we do not need to forget. And he warns the church, well, not Paul does, but Moses does. He warns the people, he says, don't forget some things. So I want to look at those things first before we get to what we need to forget. And it comes all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 4, chapter 6, chapter 8. And you know, you're like, come on, Bryce, you're almost done. Aren't you almost done? I mean, Deuteronomy is one message, isn't it? Moses preaching all the way through and speaking all of that in one message. That's a pretty long one. You know, you need your lunch for that one. But, you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses is coming to the end of his life, and he's saying, I want you to remember these things. And the Spirit is moving through him. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, he says, I think there's seven things that he says during this passage about things that we shouldn't forget. He says, take heed to yourself, Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself lest you forget the things your eyes have seen. And there's a sense that they will forget the wonders and the incredible miracles that God has done in their life. Now, I know that you probably don't struggle with that, but you know, God does something miraculous and amazing and incredible in your life. He provides for you in some way. He brings you salvation. He does something in your life so powerfully and wonderfully. And then the next trial, the next difficulty you face, what do you think? Oh my gosh, I'm never going to overcome this. It's never going to happen. That's what the nation of Israel did. The Red Sea parts. You're walking through, looking at the wall of water on either side. It comes back and destroys the greatest army of that time, the Egyptians. On the other side, you're like, God brought me out here to kill me. It's too hot, you know? He's just like, what? Did you not just see what God just did? And yet, here I am doing the exact same thing. God does something in your life, and the next thing, it's almost like you've forgotten what the wonders that he's done. And here he's saying, do not forget the wonders God has done in your life as a nation. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 23, he speaks even more. He says, take heed to yourself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you. Here he's speaking about the promises of God, or the covenant that God, not the covenant that they made with God, but the covenant that God made with them. That God had promised to them that he would be faithful to them. He would never leave them. He would never forsake them. He would bring them into the promised land. He would complete. In the New Testament, we might say he will complete that which he has begun in you. In fact, it's in Philippians that he says that. And so this idea that we do not need to forget the wonders and the miracles God has done, but also the promises, because it's the promises of God. That is where we partake of the divine nature of him, where we believe that and we settle into that and we trust that, and God begins to move through his promises. And Moses is thinking this is probably going to be a problem for the nation. Deuteronomy chapter 6, he begins something else. He says in verse 11, beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And here he's speaking about this idea of God's deliverance in their life. What did God save you from? How he brought you out of those things. That you were a slave in Egypt and now he's brought you into the promised land. Don't forget where you came from.
Because often spiritual pride will come in, and all of a sudden, after 20 years again, someone else who is committing the same sins that you committed 20 years ago, they're such horrible heathen. I'm like, well, that was you 20 years ago, you know? And you need to remember what God has done and how he's brought you out of that, how he has transformed you in your life, that he has delivered you. Don't forget those things and where you've come from. Paul speaks about it many times, even in this passage in chapter 3 of Philippians. He talks about where he came from and what God had done in his life in delivering him from these things. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, he says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God, nor not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today." And here he's worried, he's concerned that they are going to forget the counsel of God. The fact that the laws of God, of how he tells them to live their life and the instructions that he has. Because once they get into the land and once they get established in the land, sometimes it's difficult just to continue in that which you have known. You get distracted by other things, and the nation of Israel very much did that. And so he's worried that they would forget those things. Deuteronomy 8, verse 19, "Do not forget the Lord and follow other gods." Here he's talking about the worship of God. Don't forget that. Because what the nation of Israel did, they began to worship God, celebrate his feast. They went down and did all those things. But then they began to look at how the other nations did things and the other gods. They went to this city over here and they said, "Look at that incredible altar. Let's model that and let's bring it back to the temple and let's push the altar that God designed. We'll shove that in the corner because this thing is so much better." And begin to look out in those other things. And Moses is saying, "Hey, don't forget what I have prescribed and how I've told you to worship." In the New Testament, we're told to worship in the Spirit and truth. To remember that we stand in that very truth that God has given. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 19, last one, he says, "Therefore it shall be, when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies all around in the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess as an inheritance, that you would blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget." And they were to get rid of this whole group of people that were going to cause them trouble. And we find them throughout. Now, Amalek in the Old Testament is a type or a picture of our battle with the flesh. And this idea that they need to wipe that out completely and overcome that fleshly desires in our life here in the New Testament. And all of these things, his wonders, his promises, his deliverance, his counsel, his worship, his work, he says, do not forget these things. Keep these things in the forefront of your mind so that you do not stray away from God and what God desires to do in your life. And these are the things that we are to remember. These are the things we are to focus on. These are the things we are to place into our hearts, in our minds, and remember what God has done. So what is he saying about forgetting? Well, there are things that we need to forget or not let influence us for the future that have been bad in our life. In Paul's day, it was the fact that he had persecuted the church. He had put people in prison. He had consented to their death. Could you imagine the guilt that you would feel? You going into Jerusalem the first time after getting saved in Damascus and on the road to Damascus, coming back, walking into the church for the first time. And there you sit and you look at the faces of the women who their husbands have been put to death or put in jail. The children that no longer have a father anymore because you did that. And there you walk in and you're looking at those very people, how much guilt you would be and how you're like, God could never use me. You know, there's nothing, I mean, I'm there's not possible. Or the businesses that have been destroyed because people have been running from the persecution that you did. And so they had to give up their house, give up their businesses and run to other parts of the empire in order to be safe. You did that, you know, and there you have to forget those things that you have brought those into are under the foot of the cross and that Christ has forgiven you. You know, I think that's a huge part, the guilt and the shame of the past that we need to put in its proper place. Remember what Paul wrote in Colossians, that he has nailed the handwriting of ordinances that are against you. every sin you've ever done. And isn't it amazing how, I know for me, when I became a Christian, the big sins were obvious in my life that God was dealing with. But as I went on, I realized there was a whole lot more that I didn't even realize, you know? And they just sort of keep coming up in your mind in order to keep you from moving forward in your walk with God. And you know what? I used to get really, I'd wince going, oh, I can't believe I did. Oh my gosh, I remember that. I did that to that person, or I led that person astray. Like, oh, I can't. And it used to get me down. And then I'm like, you know what? God knew all of these things when he saved me. He knew all these things that I'm just remembering. And all of a sudden it began to be, instead of something that would condemn me or make me feel like unworthy or not able to serve the Lord, I began to realize that God's grace was greater than I even knew. That he covered things that I didn't even remember that I did. And now that I do, that God's grace has covered those things. And that season of our life where we're going through those things is a really important season. Where we are remembering things that we've done and bringing them to the foot of the cross and receiving the forgiveness God has given to us. Because God doesn't want to just cover these things and pretend that it didn't happen. But God wants to bring healing in these things. He wants to bring healing from these experiences that have happened in our life. And that's an important time where God is sort of, remember this, let's heal that. Let's bring that to complete healing in their life. You know, and you can think, I remember sitting there after about a year of being a Christian, and I'm like, why would I want to tell anybody about Christ and be as miserable as I am? Because I was going through that period of time as God was reminding them of how wicked I was in all that I'd done. And then I remembered, as I was thinking about those things, I'm like, you know what? God is doing that for a reason. You know, I ruptured my Achilles tendon about 10 years ago. And you know, that mean doctor, he cut me open. And that hurt more than the actual ruptured Achilles tendon. It just popped and it was weird and I couldn't walk anymore. But when that guy, he had to put me under and he cut me open, you know, sewed me together. And that hurt. It hurt for a while. You know, and yet if he wouldn't have done that, I would not be able to walk and play and run like I'm able to do now. He had to do that in order to fix that very thing that was there. And God does that. He sort of brings these things up, not to remind us and make us feel guilty about it, but put it in its proper perspective. So let that process happen. Don't say, oh no, it didn't happen, or I don't want to remember. But remember that and bring it to Christ and say, God, forgive me of that. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your freedom. I know that that was part of that list that was nailed to the cross. And now in Christ, I'm free and forgiven because of what he has done. And your grace, the grace of God, becomes wider and deeper and more full as you realize all that God has forgiven you from. There is this need for us to remember these things and bring these things to the foot of the cross. And he did that. Now he's able to talk openly about that. And the church did that and was able to forgive him and have that fellowship once again, even in all that he had done. Because if we don't deal with these things, they lead to other stuff. They lead to anxiety and loathing and negativity and selfishness and ungratefulness and catastrophism. You know, probably nobody has that where you get a bad news and it's going to be the worst thing ever. You know, it's horrible and then it never actually becomes that. And it just hinders you from actually moving forward in life. We need to bring these things to Christ. But it's not just the bad things. Forgetting those things that are past is not just those things that have been bad in our life, but also those things that have been good. You know, Michael Phelps, what did he do? I think he's won 28 gold medals, or 28 medals, 23 gold. Can you imagine the last Olympics that he got? I don't know how many won in the last Olympics that he was in, but can you imagine? You know, he walks onto the pool deck, you know, and he stands there, and he's got 20 medals hanging around his neck, and he gets up at the starting blocks, and he's got his medals hanging around his neck, and you know, like, would you want to race like that? Jump into the pool with all that weight in there? You wouldn't gonna win anything, are you? You need to take those things off and put them in their proper perspective, their proper place, so that you can make and take on the next leg of your race. even the good things, even the accolades, even the victories in our life. You see, so often we want to sort of revel in that goodness, revel in that victory that's happened. David is a prime example of that, isn't it? You know, he's fought the battles, he's won, he's done great things, and then when the kings go out to battle, David's like, nah, I'm gonna chill out here in Jerusalem. And where did that lead? To Bathsheba. And it's not just David. It happens in many different places in the Old Testament. Israel, when they were strong, instead of kicking out the Canaanites from the land and moving them out completely, it says, nah, we've got a better idea. Let's make them woodcutters and water carriers, and let's make them our slaves or our servants rather than getting them out of the land. And it says, when they were strong, he says, hey, look, we've carved out this area. We've got enough land. God says, no, I've got more for you. I want you to take the highlands. I want you to take all the land. And they're like, nah, we've got enough. We can handle these guys. We'll just make them be helpful to us and begin to change the words that God has told them to do. And guess what? They didn't remain strong all the time. And those people rose up and caused great trouble in their life. And there's this need of putting these in perspective. They have carved out enough, but God's like, I've got more for you. You know, and I think that as a Christian, now I've been 25 years in Mansfield, 30 years as a Christian. I think for me, that's the biggest temptation, to say, I've done enough. 200 people in the church, you know, one of the largest children's ministry in the town. You know, I'm just going to chill and lay back and relax now in all the goodness of God. You know where that leads? Exactly where it led with these guys. That I began to look around and get bored and distracted and other things and began to miss out on all that God has. Uzziah, lifted up with pride, it says, when he was strong, went into the temple and burned incense to God. And the priests were like, this isn't your job. No, no, no. I'm King Uzziah. Have you not seen all the things that I've done? And he began to go into these other opportunities and began to do things that he shouldn't have done. This is why Paul is saying, hey, I gave up all these things. Now, in my life, God found me in a deep hole and I was lost. I didn't have anything going on in my life. It was a mess. And he lifted me up. I've not given up anything for God. You know, he found me in that pit, lifted me up, put me on the firm rock of Christ and said, let's go. Now, Paul didn't have that. He lost a lot. He had connections. He had potential. He had a future. He had wealth. He had all of that in Judaism. And when Christ came in, his eyes were opened and the awareness of God, the reality of God, the Old Testament became clear to him. He gave all of that up to say, I want Christ and Christ alone, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And he was willing to say, hey, that's what I want. That's what I'm willing to give up. That's what I'm willing to let God do in and through our life. And it's this giving up of this, the good and the bad, and saying, you know what? Thank you, God, for the forgiveness. Thank you, God, for the victory. But Lord, I'm going to reach forward. That's what he's saying. I mean, he has planted churches throughout the whole Roman Empire. And here he is at the end saying, you know what? I still want to reach forward for more. I still want to know what God has. And it's not more churches. It's not more victories. It's not more influence. It's not any of those things that he's looking for. I want more of Christ. And isn't that really what we desire? That's the joy of the Lord that is our strength when we're looking at Christ. Not the victories, not the overcoming defeat, not the growth of anything in our life, but that we would have Christ and Christ alone. And in that, he brings the victory in all these different areas of our life. The power of his resurrection. He says, hey, this is my desire. And he says, anybody who wants to be mature, this is our mind. So how do we create that mind? How do I create the mind of forgetting those things that are past and pressing forward to the high calling of God? Well, again, even here in Philippians, he tells us in chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, He tells us, he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, I wish I was a little more spiritual than I am. But if I let my mind just sort of go coast, you know, I'm not dwelling on whatever's pure and holy and simple. I'm 6'5", dunking the basketball, you know, making millions in the NBA, you know, that's where my mind will go. Or you know, I'm doing something, you know, I'm doing something crazy, or, you know, some sort of daydream and stuff. I've got to, in order to think on the things of God, I've got to take those thoughts captive. I wish my mind went there, but it doesn't always go there. It goes to the imagination rather than the things of God. He says, hey, take charge of your mind. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. And this is where the battle is, isn't it? It's for our mind, isn't it? What we focus on, what we think on, what we put into our mind. This is why people say, don't listen to this or don't go over there. Not because they're trying to control us, but they're trying to encourage us to say, hey, put these good things into your mind. Why? Because God wants to refresh you, and God wants to use you, and God wants to bless you, and God wants to fill you with himself. And so there's this need in our life to take these thoughts captive and bring them to Christ. You know, if anyone can look at their past failures and still be used of Christ, Paul's got to be one of the hardest. I mean, to actually consent to people's death, to stand there and put husbands to death and prison and all of that sort of thing, and yet here he is being able to proclaim Christ to the church and the glory and the victory and the grace and the mercy and being able to receive that, and yet he's the guy God uses. You know what? None of us can say God can't use me. But maybe there's some things you need to put in its proper perspective. Because maybe it's something that happened 30, 40 years ago. Maybe it's something that God has brought up in your mind this past week, and you know that's kind of hindering you from receiving all that God has for you. Maybe this is your moment to put that into your proper perspective. To own that failure. Yes, Lord, I did that. Thank you, God, for your grace. I confess this to you. I receive the grace and mercy that Christ died for that sin too. And you can walk in the freedom God has for you. You see, what I'm just saying there, that's not wishful thinking. That's what God has said. Confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Those aren't my words. That's the scripture's words. That's what God desires for us. He wants us to remember these things, bring them to Christ, and let him set us free from them. God is so amazing that he wants to continue to move in our life. Here's Paul 30 years on. If anyone could go into retirement and say, I'm done, this is the guy. Churches planted all across the Roman Empire. Now he's in prison, not sure where he's headed, you know, and yet here he's like, you know what? I'm going to write some scriptures that are even maybe even cause more trouble to me. Why? I don't care. I'm going to proclaim Christ until the end. And this is our desire, proclaiming Christ, living for Christ until the end. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the wonderful truths that this speaks. Lord, no doubt many of us in this room have read this many times, but I pray that this would be a word in season. This would be a word for this moment. Lord, that we would engage in the upward call of God. I'm not talking about a specific work. I'm not talking about, you know, growing a business or increasing the size of the church. I'm not talking about any of those things. I'm talking about knowing Christ, drawing close to you, experiencing the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your sufferings. And Father, if we're in that moment of suffering, Lord, I pray that in that very moment we would find and know the fellowship of Christ. You have proven yourself faithful in so many times, in so many ways. Father, I pray that we would know this fellowship of your suffering. Lord, if there's anyone here who's never started this journey, this is your moment. Maybe the idea of sins and the failures of the past and the guilt and shame is on your mind, and this is your moment to bring it to the cross. Jesus came and died in your place. He took your sin upon himself, and God poured all the wrath that you deserve upon Christ. He paid it for you. He died in your place. He rose from the dead, ascended, sat down at the heaven, and the sacrifice of Christ was enough. So that he says, anyone who will believe can come. We recognize what Christ does. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I trust what you have done on the cross for me. And I ask you, forgive me and make me new, that I might know you and start this journey. Maybe you're here and you've been walking with the Lord and sort of getting distracted. This is your moment to say, God, bring me back to that place that I can press forward in the upward call of God. I've tried these other things. I forgot your wonders and your promises and your counsel. Lord, restore me. And the great thing is God restores you. The Father ran to meet the prodigal son and welcomed him back in the family of God. Lord, I thank you that you do that in our life, and I pray that you would continue to move in our life. Those of us that are walking solid with you, Lord, may we press forward. May we reach forward to the new things that you have, the new revelation of who you are, the new experience with knowing Christ through your scriptures and the relationship you've given. Lord, may we be encouraged and refreshed to seek and serve our God with even more vigor. Because of what you have done in our life. May we forget those things that are past and press forward to the upward call of God. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.